Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. Let's continue our look at the recent DAP Johor state-level leadership contest, which is seen to be a barometer of the dynamics in one of the country's largest parliamentary blocs, DAP. Was the win by Lee Chin Tong seen as a major Pakatan Harapan strategist? Was that win as significant as it was touted? Joining us on the show now, we have political scientist Wong Chin Huat. Chin Huat, good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show. Does Liu Chin Tong's win, does that actually settle the debate once and for all within DAP about the divergent tendencies within the party? I mean, one side that was leaning towards its Chinese demographic base, and then the other side more towards its multiracial commitments. Does Chin Tong's win actually settle that divergence, or do you think that this will be a perennial tug of war within DAP?
From my understanding, the factional divide in Johor is perhaps not so much shaped by this divide between being more Chinese or being more multi-ethnic. The fact that that is laid bare to DAP leaders of most factions is that they have to go multi-ethnic. It's a fact that that cannot escape their eye. If you are looking at 2018, only 22 parliamentary constituency had two-third non-Malay majority. And with the implementations of automatic voter registrations and Undi 18, you would expect that the composition would become more multi-ethnic, meaning that a lot of the strongly Chinese constituency would become more mixed. Mixed constituency would be leaning towards Malay, and it's a fact that most DAP leaders accept this. But of course, as a grassroots, you would always have some old members, old-time members, and also supporters who find it difficult to deal with the new scenario. It's the same thing that past experience during Pakatan time when they wanted to move from a very gung-ho push for Islamization to something more middle of the stream. It's the same thing that DAP is facing now, but I think overall, it would eventually, the party would move on.
Do you think then that some of the debates are really personality driven? That it has to do with Chin Tong? I mean, he did not actually win in 2018, right? He was a senator and co-opted into cabinet, something that he himself, I think, had criticized in the past. Is this about Chin Tong? Is it about what they now think of missteps, his alleged invitation to DAP to trust Muhyiddin Yassin as an ally, so on and so forth?
I think there's the factional divide certainly has to do with personality, but in Chin Tong's case, perhaps need to be put in perspective. He was indeed the one who chose to go to Ayer Itam and to challenge Wee Ka Siong, but unfortunately lost. He could have stayed back in Kluang. So I think while there are criticisms about him that he had failed, Chin Tong was the key person who resembled Pakatan determination to take it on Barisan Nasional in 2018. He himself chose to move away from Kluang, which he could easily win, to take on Wee Ka Siong in Ayer Itam and unfortunately lost. Of course, there have been criticism of him taking up senatorship and to be deputy minister, and people question his credibility as a strategist because he himself lost. But I think a lot of people also can see that decision, that major decisions about working with Bersatu and so on was inevitable in 2018. And looking forward to the future, whatever individual preferences is, DAP probably could see that for the moment, for the next election, it would have to stick with PKR and PH. Any other option now would probably make it weaker in the next election.
I'm just wondering, Chin Hua, whether you have any insight as to how different Chin Tong's outlook on politics and his outlook on strategy and winning federal power, how different is that to, say, his rivals within the party? How accepted is that within the party?
Chin Tong is a thinker and a strategist. He looked forward and he right even going back all the way in around late 1990s, he started to reach out to PAS and to other Malay party. He has always been much more adventurous and forward-looking in going out of the comfort zone. I think that make him a little bit more, that distinguish him with many more DAP leaders who would prefer to play safe. But overall, DAP is a very pragmatic party. They know their base is, for now, is the non-Malay and the Liberals. And in the future, they would have to be much more multi-ethnic. And a pragmatic party would respond to the environment and the incentives rather than their feelings.
Right, Chinua, because in the past, we've had non-Chinese DAP leaders of note. I mean, Kapil Singh, Pipato, Ahmad North, trade unionists come to mind. Today, is the logic slightly different? I mean, will they have to really build that up and recruit a young non-Chinese into the party to sustain this claim to be multiracial? And what will have to change in the party for that to happen, for more people like Edry and all these leaders to really feel comfortable in the party?
The non-Chinese, especially Malay leaders, would certainly grow stronger when they can command support from the ground and win seats. In fact, in that PH period, DAP appointed a Malay deputy minister from Raut. And then you have Malay Exco in Perak, in Malacca, and also in Johor. And the party put quite a bit of emphasis to put them. But in order for all these leaders to be able to move more towards the center stage, they would have to take on more constituency. But that comes to DAP existential limits by the electoral system, because you would have to, for you to move to take more seats, more Malay majority seats, you probably need your partners to give way, or until we have a new electoral system where people can vote for the party directly, and therefore you can cultivate your support regardless of the exact constituency or locality.
All right. Chin Huat, thank you for sharing those insights with us. We really do appreciate your time, taking time out to speak with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you, a quick reminder that you can get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines. You can get that at astroawani.com and the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching tonight's episode. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Goodson, signing off the evening.
We'll be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.